Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you at the start of this Global Mission Week. And so thank you so much for including me in this. It's a really joy. It really is a joy to be part of this time together this morning. We serve a glorious God who is worthy to be praised by all nations. And one day he will be gladly praised by people from all over the globe. His word tells us that there is coming a day when there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping him for the salvation that they've come to know in Jesus. And I pray that all of us know this in our own hearts, that we've come to trust in Jesus for ourselves, that we've experienced this salvation that's offered to everyone around the world. But also, I hope we also see that we have the wonderful privilege of being involved in taking the message of salvation that can be found in Jesus to people locally, but also globally as well. And my name is Brandon Nelson, as it was mentioned earlier on, and I'm part of UFM Worldwide, and it's great to be able to partner together with you in supporting a number of the mission partners you have sent out to various places around the world. Could I just say, it's really thrilling to see the way that God has worked here at Beeston and has used you in different places around the world. And it really is thrilling to think about what God has done and continues to do in this place. I've had the privilege through my involvement with UFM to get to know a number of different people. Of course, there are the press, and so know them well, but also people like the good ones who are about to go out. I'm in regular contact with a couple sent from here who are working in the Middle East. And so, yeah, it really is thrilling to see the way God has used you in this way. And also, I'll say as well that I'm part of a church in Leicester, Odeby Evangelical Free Church, and I'm part of a small group that's there that prays regularly for Ted and Rachel Watts as well, and Ethan and Jamie, and we're very much praying for Jamie today. But praise God for what he has done in and through you here, as you've had the opportunity to send and support mission workers around the world. This morning, I've been asked to help us to think about a particular subject, and that's not just sending mission partners, but supporting them over the long haul. Not just being a sending church, but also being a supportive church. Because sending is not just about being willing to let people go and serve in the places God is leading them to serve, though that's an important part of it. It's also taking an active part in their work by supporting them as we go. We're going to spend much of our time this morning in another passage of Scripture, but I'd like for us to begin by seeing the principle of supporting mission partners in 3 John. So there in 3 John, we heard it read earlier, a man is being commended there for his support and love of gospel workers. He is being encouraged to support these gospel workers as they are about to go. He says, you will do well to, this is John writing to Gaius, he says, you will do well to send, and that talks about supporting them. It's providing practical assistance that they need for their work. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So what does this text tell us about supporting our mission partners? Well, it calls on us to support gospel workers. It says that we ought to do that. And also, while it doesn't prescribe exactly how we are to go about doing this, it does set a really high bar, saying that it should be done in a manner worthy of God. We should seek to honor God in the way that we are supporting our mission partners. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul says to the church at Philippi that their support is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. But it also tells us that as we support our mission partners, we are taking part, we're participating in the work that they are doing. So they're going out for the sake of the name. And as we partner with them, we are fellow workers with them for the truth. So as we seek to support our mission partners in a God-honoring way. We are taking part in making Christ known in the places where they are. So, are we doing that? Are there ways that we could be growing in our involvement in that way? Because the reality is, that doesn't always happen, and it's certainly an area that we can all grow in, I'm sure. Sometimes we can forget easily about those things that are out of our direct line of sight. Developmental psychologists tell us that babies, until they get up to about kind of 8 months of age, they haven't developed yet what is called object permanence. And I think I've got a picture of a guy who's not quite developed it yet. So what object permanence is when you know that something is still there, even though you can't see it anymore. So if you're playing with a baby and you've got a toy there in front of them, if you put a blanket over the toy, it is as though the toy didn't exist anymore. It's as though it's disappeared. When in reality, it's still there. They just haven't developed the ability to still see it and understand that even though I can't see it, it really is still there. So let's make sure that doesn't happen with our mission partners. So part of the maturity that we are called to in Christ is remembering to care not only for one another, but also to care for those who are out of our direct line of sight. To care for people in other places, even though we can't see them, we know that they're there, and we continue to support them. So we've seen the principle in 3 John, but I want us to see what it looks like in practice by turning now to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 18 to 22 together. So Paul is away from the church in Ephesus. He's imprisoned in Rome, but he still wants them to continue to partner with him in the Lord's work. He wants to support them and to be supported by them, to be partners together in the Lord's work. So let's read it together once again. He says to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then notice this, he says, and also for me. So remember me, he says, as well. So this shows us the importance not only of supporting our mission partners. This is in a letter that's to be read before the whole church. This isn't the letter to the Ephesian Missions Committee, right? This is for all of us. But it also shows us not just the importance, but also an example of the kind of things that ongoing support involves. So I want us to look at 3 simple ways we can support our mission partners from Ephesians chapter 6. The first way we can do it is this way, by continuing in prayer. So continue in prayer. So the Apostle Paul here doesn't just ask the church to remember him, although that's part of it. He asks them to remember to pray for him. He calls on the church to be praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, including me. So include me in your prayers. So if you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, you'll know that this is all about spiritual warfare. It's the armor of God passage. It begins back in verse 10 when it talks about being strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We are in a spiritual battle, but all that we need for that battle has been freely provided to us in Christ. We can stand firm in Him and in the power of His might. And part of that is in praying. So prayer is right at the end of the passage on the armor that we're called to put on, the armor of God. At the very end it says, and we're to then pray. And as we pray, we don't just pray for ourselves, and we don't just pray for one another. We also pray for those elsewhere. Paul says, pray for all the saints, and get specific about it. Pray for me, he says. So prayer is an essential part of mission partnership. It's an amazing thing to be involved in the Lord's work, period. But it's an amazing thing as well to be involved in the Lord's work, not just where we are, but also to be able to be involved in it in places all over the world. And one of the main ways that happens is through prayer. Our prayers can go and get us involved in places where we can't personally go ourselves. So we need to pray for our mission partners and the places where they're serving. And as we do that, we take part in what they're doing. Now, let's acknowledge this. To continue in prayer, to continually remember these things in prayer, isn't always easy. It feels like a battle. But in Ephesians 6, we see that it is part of a battle. And battles are not easy. But where do we look to for the strength that we need for the battle? We look to God Himself. God has provided the help that we need to continue in prayer. Did you notice in verse 18, it tells us how we're to pray? We're to be praying in the Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit if we're in Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps us to pray as we ought. So when we're told to pray, He tells us, pray in the Spirit. When we're praying, we're looking to the Lord, but we're also looking to the Lord for the help that we need to pray in the first place. His Spirit prompts us to pray. His Spirit helps us to pray, and His Spirit keeps us praying. And as He does this, God uses our prayer in wonderful ways. He brings it into what He is doing around the world. He uses it as a means of bringing people to Himself. I don't know if you've ever read much about James Frazer. There's wonderful things written about James Frazer and his work among the Lisu people of southern China. He was with the China Inland Mission, which is now OMF. And he was very much a believer in prayer and people praying for his work and that being a vital part. He wrote this to a group of people who were praying regularly for him and the Lisu. He says, I am not asking you to give help in prayer as a sort of sideline, but I'm trying to roll the main responsibility of this prayer warfare on you. I want you to take the burden of these people on your shoulders. I want you to wrestle with God for them. And in the end, you read about many people from the Lisu being brought to faith in Christ. And no doubt, one of the means that God used in bringing this about was the prayers of His people, those who prayed for James Frazer and the people he was working amongst. So pray for your mission partners. Include them in public prayer, in private prayer. Ask God to help you by His Spirit to do this and to use your prayers as part of His global purpose. But then as we're praying for our mission partners, something happens. Our desire to be well informed about where they're working and how they're doing and how we can pray specifically grows. So that leads to the second point, which is maintain good communication. So continue in prayer and then maintain good communication. We're all having to learn new skills about staying in touch at the moment, aren't we? And it can be difficult, and some are better at it than others. Perhaps you saw the Zoom call with the Hanforth Parish Council this week. I don't know if you saw that. They were struggling with their communication, I think it's fair to say. But we all know what it is to struggle to keep good communication going. Well, in order for us to be supportive of our mission partners and involved in their work in an ongoing way, we need to maintain good communication. As we're well informed, it helps us to pray more intelligently. It also helps us to be a source of mutual encouragement one with another. It even shows us how we can get involved in their work in other practical ways. But we need to find out, and that happens through communication. Well, notice how this happens here in Ephesians 6. Well, at one level, the book of Ephesians is communication, isn't it? Now, it is so much more than that, but it is that. It's a letter that Paul has taken the effort to write to these brothers and sisters in Christ in another place. He's making the effort to communicate with them. And then notice what he says in verse 21. He says, so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. So how's communication happening there? It's happening through a person, a co-laborer of Paul, going to visit with the church to inform them, to communicate what is happening. And obviously, there's an expectation there that the church will want to hear. They'll want to know how things are going. And you don't read about this here, but you can look elsewhere in the New Testament to see that it was also a practice for the church to send things, communication, with someone who then goes to visit Paul. So reports about how things are going with the church would be brought by someone like Tychicus when they return to Paul and others they're working with. But you see, Tychicus travels for the very purpose, it says in verse 22, of letting them know how we are. And that he may encourage your hearts. So it's for the very purpose of keeping them informed and encouraging them in that way. And all of this took effort, but the effort was worth it. It was a means of engagement. The church was able to pray in more specific ways. Perhaps there were other ways they found out that they could get involved. Who knows what Tychicus shared with them exactly. But it was a means of engagement, and it was a means of encouragement as well, mutual encouragement. So as you think about your own communication with your mission partners here and the way that you personally get involved in that, perhaps think about a few different ways of doing that. Well, one is to just be mindful of good communication and the importance of it. Make sure you're thinking of ways that you can get in touch and encourage. It doesn't take long reading through the New Testament to see the ways that God uses our words to encourage others and the way God uses the words of others to encourage and help us. I read through the book of Hebrews not too long ago, and that certainly comes through in the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Exhort one another every day, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So our perseverance is connected to being exhorted by others within the body of Christ. God uses us to persevere in faith. He says as well in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Meet together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So he says, think about it. Give careful attention to this. Think about how you can exhort one another, how you can build one another up with your words, to stir one another up to love and good works. Encourage one another. Now, this is just spoken to the wider church. You know, there's a very real sense in which we are all gospel partners. God has designed us in such a way that we need to hear from one another. This is, by the way, a very real danger we've all faced during this pandemic, being cut off from others. So we've had to think through creative ways to stay in touch with one another, to stir one another up, to encourage one another in the Lord. You know what? Our mission partners are no different. They need that as well. And when we're able to meet again as before, they will still be at a distance from us. And so we need to think creatively about how to continue to encourage them, to be mindful of them, to get in touch. So you said, yeah, so be mindful, be intentional in your communication as well. You see a lot of effort going into communicating here. So make the effort to stay in touch with your mission partners. Everyone won't have the same level of interaction with every single mission partner that this church has sent or supports. And that's okay. That would be overwhelming, I'm sure, for everybody involved. Here in the text, you've got Paul and Tychicus who are in touch in depth. So there's very much an awareness there. But Tychicus is able then to take information from Paul and share it with the wider church to inform their prayers. And the same thing can happen in the life of a church where you have someone who is in touch and they are well informed and they become a means of informing the wider church. So it's a good practice. I don't know how it happens here exactly, but it's a great practice for the local church to have somebody who's in contact with a mission partner who's then informing the wider congregation. Or perhaps for a small group to adopt a mission partner and to pray regularly for them, to include them in your prayers. So, but just for you personally, maybe think about this. Decide who it is that you are really going to keep up with. I'm really going to keep up with this person, with this family. I'm going to read their news updates. I'm going to get in touch with them. Could I just say, just make a point to respond to what people write. You know, as you read their prayer letters, that kind of thing, drop them a line. Let them know how you're doing. Ask them about something about themselves. It can be discouraging. I've experienced this myself. Maybe I just need to work at writing better. Or where you send out a newsletter and it's crickets. And you wonder, did anybody receive it? What are people doing with it? And people may very well be poring over it and praying for you. But it's really encouraging to actually hear from people. My wife and I spoke with a lady not too long ago, and she said this to my wife. She said, well, we know that this is a lady who very much reads missionary prayer letters and very much prays and is informed. But she says, no, I never do write to them because I never know what to say. Say something is the answer. But be proactive in getting in touch with them. I'm sure that would be a real encouragement to your mission partners. And even get in touch outside of the times when they initiate contact with you. It's encouraging to know that people are thinking about you. Could I just say as well, be creative in ways you stay in touch. In the book of Ephesians here, we don't just see one way of information traveling. We see it happening in a couple of ways. It happens through a letter, but it also happens through a personal visit. And could I just say, letters are still great, but there are also lots more means of communication. So think about what's the best way to stay in touch. We've got things like WhatsApp and Zoom now. The most ideal thing is to meet in person, and I'm sure all of us are looking forward in one way or another to be able to meet with others in person again. But during lockdown, we've all had to think through creatively about how to stay connected. And in the long run, I think this could be massively beneficial to our mission partners to continue to stay in touch, even when we're meeting together in person, to think, well, we were able to stay in touch remotely before with one another. How can that be applied to our relationship, our communication with our mission partners? How can we encourage them through these various means? I was in contact with a couple in East Africa, actually, not too long ago, and they said they feel better connected to their sending church than ever before. They're able to now tune into the services online. That's been an encouragement to them. They're actually participating in one of the church's small groups because the small group is having to meet over Zoom. So they're tuning into that and involved in that now. And so that was thrilling to see. And it's great to hear about the midweek prayer meeting this week where you're able to hear from different mission partners on Zoom. So make the most of that opportunity. But as things get back to normal, let's make sure we stay in touch. Okay, well, let's get to the last point then. So you're praying for your mission partners. You're communicating with them. You're well informed now. But when you're in touch with them, what are you wanting to find out about? How are you supporting them? How are you coming alongside them? In what ways? Which is this last point, is develop a dual concern. Develop a dual concern. So here's what I mean by that. In supporting our mission partners, we might think, well, are we supporting them or are we supporting the work they are involved with? And the answer is both. It's both. So we support our mission partners by developing a dual concern. In other words, caring both about what they are doing and how they are doing. Did you see it in the text in Ephesians 6? So when Tychicus comes, what is he going to share? He's going to talk about how Paul is doing and what he is doing. And no doubt share about the kind of wider work as well. But you see the two elements there, what I'm doing and how I am doing. So he's going to share a bit more about the work, but also about Paul's personal well-being. This is not too dissimilar, is it, to what Paul said to the Ephesian elders, the elders of this very church in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when he said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. So both elements are important and related to one another. So pay attention both to yourselves, but also to the work that you're called to do, to what you can do to serve others. So as we check in with our mission partners, it'd be good to explore and to pray about both of those areas so they're supported well in both. So we see that we in what they are doing, we care about their work. So when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus about praying for him, he doesn't actually focus primarily on his personal needs. He focuses on the advance of the gospel. Times are challenging. He talks about how he's an ambassador in chains. So you could say he's in lockdown. But he doesn't use this as an excuse to step back from the mission. In the midst of lockdown, he is still looking for opportunities to make Christ known and invites the church into this. So he's asking them to pray that he would boldly proclaim the gospel, that he would represent Christ. That's what it means for him to be an ambassador, that he would have the words to say in presenting Christ to those he is around. So when we talk about our mission partnership, let's remember that we're partnering together for the sake of the gospel. Or as 3 John said it in verse 8, we are workers together for the truth. We're working together to see the gospel proclaimed, to see disciples made, to see churches established, to make Christ known. So find out about the challenges your mission partners are facing in the work, especially at the moment. You know, there's lockdown restrictions that people are having to rethink as we are here. How do I connect with people? How do I share the gospel in this situation? How do I disciple others online? Or maybe they're in a setting where they can't do it online, so they're having to weigh up the risks of, do I actually go out and meet with people in person? And just working through that and differences of opinion amongst coworkers in how to go about doing that. Also find out not only about the challenges, but the gospel opportunities that are there. Even in lockdown, the word of God is not bound. Some have experienced wonderful open doors for the gospel in recent days. I've heard about relief efforts in Central Asia, for example, where an unreached people group has been accessed because of the relief efforts that have happened, where they're giving practical help and relief for their physical needs, but also sharing Christ alongside that, a great open door there. People have been engaging through online ministries and other means. But let's pray and come alongside them in the work and support gospel ministry. But also in that, we need to care about them. So we care not only about the work, we also care about gospel workers. We care about our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just the work. I don't know if you've seen the film Glory. Have you seen that? It came out in the late 80s. It was about an all-black regiment in the U.S. Civil War fighting for the Union. And but they were asked to fight, but in the film, it's based on a true story, you see that they weren't given the actual supplies that they needed like their white counterparts were given. They weren't paid for the work that they were doing well at all. They weren't given proper footwear to carry out the work that they were doing. So they were asked to do the work, but their personal needs were overlooked. They weren't cared for personally, and that comes through in a really powerful way in the film. In supporting our mission partners, we need to communicate. We don't just care about what you're doing. That's important, but we also care about you. We want to help to supply what you need. We're asking God to help us to help you in what you need personally. So no, Paul doesn't talk too much about what he's doing here personally, but we do know he's bound. He's imprisoned. Perhaps he's showing a little bit of vulnerability in this letter as well, asking for boldness. There's a heart issue being put before the church here. Pray for my boldness. You have a letter like 2 Corinthians, which is a particularly personal letter, but we don't have the personal account here, but the church is going to hear it from Tychicus. He's going to communicate it to the church. He knows about how Paul's doing in his health. He knows about how Paul is doing in himself. And at Paul's instruction, he's going to share that with the church for their prayers. So supporting our mission partners well will mean caring for them personally. So find out about how they're doing physically, emotionally, spiritually. If you're one of the people who are in contact with them on an ongoing basis, ask about this and do what you can to support them in all of those areas. in my kind of regular contact with missionaries through the work at UFM, I've found out that that sometimes it can be a lot easier in some ways to raise support for projects than it is for personal needs. That people are quick to get involved in the work, but a bit slower, generally speaking, to get involved in personal support. Let's make sure that's not the case in those that we are supporting. Because the fact is, and I'll close with this, God cares about both. So let's pray that we might be a people who care for both, who care deeply for our mission partners, who love them and want to express that love for them in practical ways. But let's also be a people who care deeply about the gospel going forth and bearing fruit in the places that they are serving around the world. So let's be a people who are trusting God to supply all that we need according to His riches and glory as we partner together to declare His glory among all the nations. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for what you have done for us in Christ. Lord, thank you for how by your Spirit you have brought us into fellowship with yourself. And Lord, thank you that in this you've also brought us into fellowship with one another. And Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to partner together to make Christ known, both right where we are here, but also around the world. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would help each one of us to be actively participating in this. Lord, that you would show each one of us how we can be growing in our support of our mission partners and taking part in what you are doing around the world. So we thank you for what you're doing, and we want to give you praise and ask you for the help that we need to glorify you where you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen.